Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
I'm going to be in Daniel chapter 5 today. Daniel chapter 5 for the message. It's about 60% of the way through a paper Bible. I want to get us pointed in a direction by sharing a story. It's a mowing story. I know a couple weeks ago I shared about mowing story. It's mowing season. I enjoy mowing, so you're going to have to struggle through it. I have a riding lawnmower, and about this time every year, it's almost an annual tradition for me. I don't plan to do it, but as I'm mowing a certain part of my lawn, it's wet, and as I was mowing this last week, I was like, I'm not going to have time to mow this part later, and so I'm going to see how close to the muddy part I can get. Guess what happened? Yep, this is what happened. It's not the exact picture, but essentially I buried. Did you know that when you bury a zero-turn tractor and you try to, like, it just goes deeper into the mud? Yeah, it was bad. Had to get it towed out of the mud because I had buried it that deeply. I do this every year. Like, I should know, shouldn't I? So here's a question. I was thinking about this question this week, especially when I buried the mower. Am I aware of the consequences of my actions? Think about that for you. It's more than mowing, right? But in your life, maybe this last week, think about this. Are you aware of the consequences of your actions? As I was thinking about this question, one of the things I pondered was, well, maybe we're not aware of some of the consequences, right? I taken back to when I was about 7 years old. My parents had told me, don't play with the light socket, but they never told me what the consequences were. And so this one time in particular, I was in my living room, and I had a knife or a screwdriver in my hand, and I was behind, you know where this is going, don't you? I was behind a chair in my living room right by a light socket, and so I took that screwdriver and I jammed it in the light socket. I remember a spark, a pop, and I yelled, right? Consequences. And I remember my mom, she wasn't running in. She walked in and looked at me and said, you'll never do that again, will you? Which I will not. When my mom used to tell that story years ago, she would laugh as she told it. Yeah. So maybe there's sometimes we're not aware of the consequences. Maybe there's sometimes you think about that question, am I aware that my actions have consequences? Maybe you know, well, there are consequences, but let me push the limit a little bit. Let me give you an example of this one. You've all seen a sign that looks something like this. So what are the consequences if you go over that limit? Right, you get pulled over, could get a ticket. Now, my next question, if you're a police officer in the room, don't answer this question, but for the rest of you, I want you to think, how many miles an hour over that limit can you go without getting pulled over? And I want you to use your hand, or for some of you, both hands, to tell me how many miles an hour over can you go without consequences? Go. Okay, so a couple of realizations. You're in church, right? You know what the consequences are, and not everyone had the same answer, right? Some of you are like 3, some of you are like taking your shoes off. Somebody said 15, right? Woo! Here's what we've done. We've created in our own mind this gray area. Even though we've known the consequences, we create our own gray areas of, well, I think I can push it that far. So when you think of consequences, maybe it's like that. Or there's even a group of people. I had to look this up. There's a term for this type of person. Where you know the consequences, but you absolutely ignore them. You don't care. The term for this is an imprudent person. An imprudent person. Here's the definition. An imprudent person doesn't think about the consequences. It gives 2 examples. They might cross the street without looking both ways. That's an imprudent person. The other example it gave, a person could use a curling iron while taking a bath. right? That's bad. It means lacking discretion, wisdom, or good judgment. You want another example? Watch the news. Right? There's a lot of folks who know what the consequences are and don't care, and they end up on the news. So here's a question I want us to think about. Am I aware of the consequences of my actions? The more I read Scripture, the more I read the words of Jesus and what he invites us to do, and the thing that he puts in our lives is protection. In my own life, I wonder how many times that I've pushed the limits a little bit. As I talk to people, I wonder how many times we're all creating gray areas, trying to come up with our own limits. And I wonder if we're living at a time that we would benefit from really pondering our choices and the consequences that those choices birth. So I want to remind us, we're in this series called The Inside Story, where God gets to the real issues. I'm going to read a lot of scripture today about this account in Daniel chapter 5, where there was a king, and this king made a few choices that ended up having some pretty significant consequences. And I think we can learn, I'm learning from this, how to stay away from gray areas. I think we would all benefit from this. Daniel chapter 5, lots of Bible this morning, so buckle up. You ready? Okay, for that one person listening, here we go. Daniel chapter 5. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles, drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Pause, just for a second. Those goblets were set apart and holy for a specific use. They were, you could read a portion of the Old Testament, those were special goblets. And the king wanted to sort of up the excitement of the party and gets them. Verse 3, so they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem. The king, the nobles, his wives, concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale. He was so frightened that his legs became weak. His knees were knocking. We'll read the end of the account here in a minute, but here's what happened. Just imagine this disembodied hand writing on a wall. The king's freaked out, and so he wants to know what the words on the wall mean, and he reaches out to his own people and says, can anybody, nobody could interpret it, and so they ask Daniel. Daniel was set apart, he was holy, and Daniel had interpreted dreams for other kings, and so Daniel comes in, and before he reads the interpretation on the wall, we'll pick it up in a minute, Daniel gives this king a history lesson. He essentially says, hey, you remember your dad, the old king, King Nebuchadnezzar? Do you remember, and he recounts that, if you can read this in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful king, but the Lord, because he did some things that God didn't like, the Lord afflicted him with sort of insanity, sent him off into the wilderness. He ate with wild animals. He would get up and the dew of the morning would be all over his body for the rest of it. Like, it was bad. But at the end, King Nebuchadnezzar ended up honoring God. His sanity was restored, and his kingdom was restored as well. So his dad is like a family lesson. Hey, this has happened again. We're going to pick up in Daniel's readdressing King Belshazzar after this history lesson. He says this, but you, Belshazzar, his son, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you've set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You've had the goblets of his temple brought to you. You and your nobles, wives, concubines drank from them. You praised the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. And he's going to interpret this inscription. It's an inscription that was written many, many tekel parson. I'm sure I pronounced that perfectly. Here's what the words mean. Many, God has numbered the days of your reign, brought it to an end. Tekel, you've been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Paris, your kingdom is divided, given to the Medes and Persians. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. Gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. In that text, I'm finding where the king created this gray area and there were consequences in his choices. It's helping me as I consider the consequences of my choices. I think it can help us. So let's pray and jump in. So Father, we thank you for this text. Open our hearts, open our minds, and open our ears as we explore our choices and our consequences. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I see. You can write this in. Belshazzar's choices obviously pushed the limits. Pushed the limits. Belshazzar's throwing this party. There's 1,000+ people there. And the text says in verse 3, they brought the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem. And they drank from them. I don't believe that in this party they did that because they ran out of dishes, right? During this party, somebody didn't say, man, we want more wine, but we don't have any more goblets. Well, let's get the few that were in the temple. And in my, it doesn't say this in the text, but I don't think there were 1,000 goblets. I think they took these few goblets and they all sipped to sort of up the ante, to sort of make the assignment, to sort of walk into this gray area of these goblets that were set apart for God and use those. Not only that, in verse 4 it says, as they drank wine, they praised other gods. That's bad. And we can see in verse 5, I won't read the text, but we can see that God has had enough. You have crossed a line with your choices. He sends a disembodied hand and writes on the wall. We can only go so far. We will find, this is a pretty definitive statement. We will find out when we've crossed the line. Let me give you an example in my life. When I've pushed the limits too far. It's about 12 years ago. I was not here at the Vineyard. I was working for someplace else. I was going to Elkhart for a stint of about 6 months. We were working with another company. And so I was driving back and forth almost daily. It was an early morning on the same road that I had taken to Elkhart that I had taken the last 6 months, not paying attention to the speed limit. I do not know how fast I was going, but I know I was speeding. I looked in my rearview mirror, there was a police, woo-woo, got pulled over. Police, right before the police officer came up, I was working for a hospital, I put my hospital badge up front so he could see it. Nice, huh? Good move. That didn't help. He came up, asked me 2 questions. How fast were you going? I don't know. Really didn't. The second was, where are you going? Well, I'm going to Elkhart Hospital. I thought we were fine. His third comment was, do you know I could impound your car right now? And I thought, uh-oh, what happened? He goes, did you know that your registration on your license plate, I think it was 6 months expired? When he said that, I remember about 8 months ago, I got something in the mail that said, you know what? You should re-register your license. Did you know that the police officers pay attention to that little sticker on the license plate? Right? I when I got that thing in the mail, I remember thinking, oh, I'll do that later. I am so busy. That ended up being my most expensive ticket of my life. That was super expensive, which also means I got other tickets. Right? I am not perfect. But when you cross the line, you will at some point find out the consequences. Right, you set yourselves up against the law of the land. Well, what about setting ourselves up against the Lord? So let's shift that to our spiritual lives. Let me bring up a topic. How's your Sabbath doing? Here's what a Sabbath is. The Lord's pretty clear in Scripture. He says, hey, you work 6 days. I'm going to give you a seventh day. You set it apart. You pay attention to me. You hang out with me. How are we doing with that? Whew. Struggle for me sometimes. Daniel puts it this way to the king. He says, you've set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. That's a dangerous place to be. You can fill this in. If you push beyond God's limits, there will be consequences. If you push beyond God's limits, there will be consequences. Two thoughts I have about this. You might be thinking to yourself, yeah, but Steve, in Scripture, it's not always clear. I mean, even take the Sabbath. You could go to teachings of Jesus where he sort of pushes on the Sabbath, that even Jesus worked on the Sabbath. And, well, I get it. But what we're doing, here's the dangerous part of that. If we're creating a gray area of Scripture out of our own making, do you know that the distance between the gray area and the consequences of God are not measured by you, they're measured by him. Amen. It's a dangerous place to be. Here's the other image I had. Well, Steve, I don't know what his limits are because I'm not really reading my Bible. You know what? Here's the image I have for you. I've been there before in my life. It's like sitting behind the chair when I was 7 years old with a screwdriver in my hand. I don't know what the consequences are, but I'm going to poke that thing in there. We all have the ability to read or listen to the things that God puts in our path to help us. He's not saying, oh, I'm going to put you in this box. No, he loves us so much that he's giving us these boundary lines. He wants the best for us. So for the booth, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. I want to ask this question because I think it's an important one. The question is this. Where am I pushing the limit too far? You can fill it in. Where am I pushing the limit too far? Is it your Sabbath? Or how about this? Is it conversations with people that you shouldn't be having? Like, could you open up your cell phone, unlock it, and give it to a stranger behind you and say, man, you can read all my text messages, all my Instagram messages? Maybe it's you're pushing the limits with drinking. That you know, I can have this many and I'll be okay. Maybe it's what you watch. Maybe it's who you invite into your life. Maybe it's who you're having sex with. Anywhere you're thinking, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, should be a check in our spirit. Am I pushing the limits? Because if I am, those choices come with consequences. So as a reminder, Belshazzar's choices pushed the limits. Here's the other thing I see in the text. His choices, could be an odd way to think about this, honored the wrong person. His choices honored the wrong person. So the king pushes the limit. He's now, God has written this message on the wall. Daniel's brought in to interpret the message. And Daniel, before he interprets the three words that were on the wall, engages in this quick conversation, but I think it's so instructive. Daniel says this to the king. He says, you praise the gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, stone, cannot see or hear or understand. Look at this. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. The heart of the issue is not that he used the goblets that he was not to use, that they were set apart. The heart of the issue really wasn't, although it was bad, that he honored other gods, the heart of the issue is he didn't honor the Lord. I think of it this way. If I truly honor something, I will not push its limits. When I was very young, my dad, I had a high respect for my father. He worked multiple jobs. And I honored him. I wouldn't have used those words, but I just had deep respect for him. I didn't push his limits very often. But something happened when I was in high school. I started hanging out with the wrong people. I was not a Christian. And I fell out of honor and respect for my dad. He didn't do anything wrong. It was entirely me. But what I thought and what I viewed in my father was twisted. I didn't honor him anymore. And I pushed every single limit I could with my dad. Not my dad's fault, mine. If we're pushing boundaries of something, it's because we don't honor it. This isn't a question of Belshazzar just being a jerk, right? This is an issue of him not honoring the Lord, which is amazing to me. Remember the history lesson? His dad afflicted, right? Nebuchadnezzar was afflicted by God because he was being a jerk to God. God sent him to the wild animals, eating with the wild animals, sort of insane. But here's what happens in Daniel chapter 4, a chapter earlier. Here's what happens. King Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His kingdom was restored. Part of the history of King Belshazzar, his dad honored the Lord, and his kingdom was restored. So Daniel calls this dishonor from Belshazzar and finally interprets the inscription, right? The interpretation, many, many tekel parson, is numbered, weighed, and divided. So he gives this interpretation. But what I find absolutely fascinating, not just the interpretation, what I find absolutely fascinating is the next thing that Belshazzar does. I'd never seen this before. I've read this text multiple times. Verse 29. So he gets this interpretation. Here's what happens. At Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he proclaimed was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Who did the king honor? Daniel. He had an opportunity. Daniel had told him, you dishonored God. Remember, your dad honored God and his kingdom and his sanity were restored. He gives him the history lesson again. Daniel, in that moment, I am convinced, in that moment, could have said, I was wrong. I lift my hands and my eyes to the Lord and I honor you, Lord. And I wonder if he would have done that, if the story would be different. But instead, he honors Daniel, who didn't want the honor. I want to make this somewhat practical for our lives. When we push into boundaries, we should realize that when we create those gray areas in our own mind, what we're really doing is we're saying, God, I don't honor you enough to follow your rules, so I'm going to create gray areas. That's dangerous. What we should do is honor the Lord. And the inscription on the wall that was made for Belshazzar, those words, I think today are important for us as well. What were the three words? Numbered was the first one. Look at this, Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Do you know that your days are numbered? When I was 19 or 20 years old, if somebody would have said that, I would have said, you're old if you're telling me that, right? I have my whole life in front of me. Well, guess what? Your days are numbered. We do not know when the end will come. It could be tomorrow. It could be 50 years from now. But guess what? Your days are numbered. When God looks at you, he says, oh, it's day number 39,412. But the great news is, on that day, 39,412, I get to have a choice to honor God. I can do it differently today. The second word is weighed. Look at this, Proverbs 21:2. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. You might think that your gray area is right, but the Lord is weighing your heart in those decisions. But how great would it be on day 39,000, whatever I said earlier, to say, you know what, Lord, my heart posture moves from the gray area, and now I'm going to honor you. We get the opportunity to do it different. The last word, divided. Let us not be deceived that when Jesus comes back, there will be a division. There will be a calling out. Look at this. Matthew 25, Jesus says it this way: when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. We have an opportunity. The Lord is patient enough. Look at this last scripture. It's going to come up. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Yes, the Lord is gracious and loving, and he leaves the 99 to come after the one, but let's not be deceived. The tension of the other scriptures that say, your choices have consequences, let's honor the Lord. So when we're tempted to push the limits, we get a choice. And so here's the last fill in the blank. Who am I choosing to honor? Really, who am I choosing to honor? Because that's the heart of the issue. That was the heart of the issue with the king. Belshazzar's choices pushed the limits, and he honored the wrong person, and it cost him. Why don't you stand? We're going to move into a time of prayer. There's a few opportunities to respond this morning. There's a prayer team. Love to pray about anything going on in your life. Something's not working right. You have a big issue coming up this week. Just come sit in the front rows. Prayer team would love to pray for you. The other opportunity is this. You have drifted into a gray area of your own creation. And before you leave out of these doors, the invitation is for you to sit back. Not all of you. Don't do this yet when I start praying. The invitation for you is to sit back down. I'm not going to ask anybody else to move. But some people are going to leave. But some of you are going to sit back down. And you are going to reconcile with the Lord that gray area. And the invitation is for you to apologize, for you to ask for God for help, to remember that God loves you so much that he's calling you back to either repentance or a reset of your mind. And so that's the invitation, which means when the rest of us leave, we're going to be quiet. Because some of us, this last service, there's quite a few, paused to say, Lord, I'm in a gray area and I should not be. So that's the invitation at the end. Let me pray and close. So Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we understand that our choices have consequences, both positive and negative. And so I pray, God, as we consider the next few minutes, that you would help us, if we've drifted into a gray area, not to rush out into the world, but to pause before you and honor you. So Lord, help us. It was a pleasure, Lord. It was a joy for many of us to worship you, to be in your presence, and to read your word. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.